Welcome to an inspirational Sunday message from Found Church. We hope you will be challenged and encouraged while listening to this message. For more information, or if you'd like to contact us, please visit our church website, foundchurch.co.uk, or you can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
And I want to continue this morning to speak on Stronger Together. And a few weeks ago, I had a dream, and a particular phrase kept going around my head as I was dreaming, and that phrase was, "We is greater than me." And as I woke up from that dream, this phrase was still in my mind, and as I prayed about it, I was inspired by the Holy Spirit for three messages around the theme of Stronger Together. And the first one was all based upon the theme of Church of Misfits. And then 2 weeks ago, I spoke about how we can stick together when the world is falling apart. And over these weeks, we've been talking about the church, the vision for the church, how we are the church, a collective body of people from all different backgrounds, regardless of their race, social standing, or past. We can come together and be something amazing for the kingdom of God. A bunch of misfits empowered by the Holy Spirit can make a huge impact in our world because we is greater than me. That we can stick together when the world is falling apart, showing the love and hope of the gospel to a hurting and broken world. And I want to continue to talk to you about how we is greater than me today because we get bolder under pressure. See, right now it feels like we are under pressure. When people throw out numbers, we hear R values, infection numbers, and sadly we hear death rates. Or numbers around the economy, the number of people receiving furlough payments, the number of shops closing, the number of unemployment benefits that has been paid, or the length of time that we've been stuck at home, unable to see friends and family properly, or trying to homeschool every day and the challenges that that brings. And those kinds of numbers can be scary, and they can be uncertain. See, most people I know are really making the best of it and are doing okay. But I also know that the pressure builds. When we don't know what's coming next, when we don't know what's going to happen to the global economy, the UK economy, or even the local economy here in this part of Scotland, when we don't know what's going to happen in the retail world, when we don't know what's going to happen with our children's education, when we don't know what's going to happen in the church world, when we just don't know, there is all kinds of pressure. And this is not new for the church. I believe that the church as a whole performs really great under pressure. See, I'm not necessarily the guy that can perform well when the pressure is coming in from all sides. I'm not that guy that can direct everyone, that can respond to every need and fix everything. I'm not that guy that can always handle the pressure. In fact, I've had my own struggles in the past when the pressure has been on. The pressure to perform, the pressure to do my best, to do the right job always. But when the pressure comes intensely, sometimes my tendency is to withdraw. However, there are other people, though, when the pressure is on, they absolutely rise to the occasion. They come out of the cage ready to go. This is where they perform best. But I haven't met many people like that. Sometimes I wish I was like that, but for me, sometimes the pressure can be hard. But what I've watched unfolding over these weeks of lockdown is that when the pressure is on, we together, we get to be bolder under pressure. We've had to get creative. We couldn't just do things the way we used to in the past. We can't just stay in the routine, doing things the way we've always done it. But at the same time, we've had to keep on going, doing what we are called to do. That is to preach the gospel, to bring the love and hope of Jesus, connect people to each other, care for the sick and hurting, and minister to people. But we need to do all that differently from the ways that we've done it before, and the pressure is on right now because this is not normal. And if I had to try and figure out all these things out on my own, I would probably cave under the pressure. But when the team work together, then we get creative and pull the things out of the bag. This is how we can share the gospel. This is how we can keep people connected and so on. And I've watched the church do great things under pressure. But the church has been doing this for 2,000 years. Not we, not Found Church, but the church, God's people. We have watched that as the pressure rises around the church has this tendency, amazingly, to flourish. To flourish. There is places in the world where it's illegal to be a Christian, to own a Bible or go to church, yet Christianity flourishes in these places. Why? The church. We get bolder under pressure. You don't have to look very hard to see that the world is filled with people in pain and anxiety. We are suffering losses. We're suffering stress. We're going through all sorts of stuff, and the world is filled with people in pain. They were already all around us before the spread of the coronavirus, but the pain people are in is amplified and multiplied right now. What do we have for a world that is hurting? What can we give as a church to the world that is under pressure and hurting? And I want to share with you this morning a story of a church under intense pressure, a group of people, a group of we's together. Followers of Jesus who were living under intense pressure in their particular setting. And I want to set the scene by saying that what it is we have to give away to the world around us, to the culture, to the people where we are under pressure, is the good news about Jesus. We can give people the hope of the good news about Jesus, and the effects are real and eternal. In other words, when the world around us is struggling and in pain, when the world around us is dealing with health issues, education issues, economic issues, there is ways that the church can step up. There is ways in which the church can step up. We can help with physical needs, and we've been doing that over these last few weeks in Found Church. We've been helping people with their physical needs. But at the end of the day, though, that is limited. We cannot help people with their physical needs forever. There comes a day when we have to stop. We cannot do that forever. It's limited in what we can do. We can also help people with emotional needs, like loss, grief, depression, anxiety, but that is also limited. See, all of that stuff is temporary, and we can't do it forever for someone. But we can step up to the plate in all of these areas that we just mentioned and make a difference. But the greatest thing that we'll ever be able to do for the last 2,000 years, and for as long as it takes until Jesus comes back, the greatest thing we can do for this world is sharing with them the good news and hope about Jesus. And we do that best when the pressure is on. And if you've got a Bible this morning, wherever you are, I want you to turn with me to Acts chapter 3. And we're going to read through from verses 1 to 10. One day, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer, about 3 in the afternoon. Now a man who was lame from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those going into the temple courts. So here's this guy with physical needs, a guy with economic needs, and the Bible says that when he saw Peter and John about to enter the temple, he asked them for money. And in verse 4 goes on to say, Peter looked straight at him, as did John. Then Peter said, look at us. And I love this intimate exchange that is already happening here. They look straight at him. I wonder how many people had walked past him every single day without even looking at him. People that just never saw him. People who would be trying to look the other way, hoping that he would not call their attention. But Jesus has shown and commanded Peter and John how to do things differently. So they look at the man. And I think there's a reason why they say, look at us. He saw them and he asked for them for money, but he wasn't really looking at them. You see, I think that just by examining this story, that his head was kind of low and he was asking them for money, almost like this, can I have some money, please? But they say, look at us. We want eye contact. We want this moment of intimacy and relationship here that you might not have experienced before. And then verse 5 goes on to say, so the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. Then Peter said, silver or gold I do not have, but what I do have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. Then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. When all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the same man who used to sit begging at the temple gate called Beautiful, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. See, we live in a world of need, and you might be feeling today that there is nothing that you can do about it. And I've spoken with many people, including pastors, over these last few weeks, and they feel like they don't know what to do. They don't know how to contribute. They don't know how to offer solutions. They know what they should be doing, but they just don't know how to do it. Maybe you have felt like that, or you are feeling like that right now. Maybe you feel like you have nothing to offer. Well, let me tell you this morning, if you know Jesus, then you're wrong. If you know Jesus, then you possess the most precious gift that you could possibly give to anybody around you. It's not medical care, as great a gift as that is. It's not money or finance, as great a gift as that also is. You have hope. You have Jesus. You have this living Lord and King. You have this victorious God. In your life and your heart, walking right beside you. Your story of coming to know him, how he changed your life, that's the best thing you have to give and contribute elsewhere. Even if you have money, even if you have medical expertise and any other skills that can help your community, the greatest thing you will ever have is the gospel. The New Testament says we are like jars of clay and we have within us this treasure of the gospel, the good news of Jesus. Don't for one minute ever believe that what you have to offer the world is somehow insignificant. If you've been saved by the grace of Jesus, you have a powerful, life-changing story, a story to tell that makes all the difference in the world for people. We just have to find ways to get going with it. Find ways to share it, to give it, to talk about it. Hey, here's where my hope comes from. This is what Jesus did for me, and he can do the same for you. And I spoke about this last time and shared five practices that impacts the community of how we can stick together and get going and start sharing. But here's the problem with all of that. When the church gets going, we start sharing the gospel, we start loving and healing and doing ministry, we will always, always face opposition. Every time we get on our feet and get going, the enemy gets mad. The enemy gets upset. So I want you to flick forward in your Bible a little bit to Acts chapter 4. And in Acts chapter 4, starting at verse 1, it says there, the priests and the captain of the temple guard and the Sadducees came up to Peter and John where they were speaking to the people. See, so they just healed this guy. Now they're speaking to people who are amazed that this guy is walking. They come up, and verse 2 says, they were greatly disturbed because the apostles were teaching the people, proclaiming in Jesus and the resurrection of the dead. See, one thing to know, because they said the Sadducees were there. The Sadducees did not believe in an afterlife. They didn't believe in a resurrection from the dead. So this was a really particularly offensive thing to their particular division of Judaism. But all of them there are upset because they are talking about Jesus being alive. They are presenting the good news of the gospel, and in the city doesn't like it. The temple leaders don't like it, so they are greatly disturbed. Verse 3 says, they seized Peter and John, and because it was evening, they put them in jail until the next day. So here we are. We get a night in jail for giving people hope. So Christianity in this early day, even for doing this simple act of healing a man and helping a man, The church is experiencing pushback and persecution. The church is under pressure. And verse 4 says, but many who heard the message believed. So the number of men who believed grew to about 5,000. Now this is something I love about all of this. Even when the world is against you and the pressure is on to stop spreading the hope of Jesus, when you keep doing it, you have to know that as much trouble you can get in for doing it, some people are going to hear, they're going to hear you, and they're going to believe, and they're going to respond. And I want to encourage you to cling on to that promise. Verse 5 says, the next day the rulers and elders and the teachers of the law met in Jerusalem. Ananias the high priest was there, and so were Cephas, John Alexander, and others of the high priest family. They had Peter and John brought before them and began to question them, by what power or what name did you do this? So when the church gets going, they went to the temple to do ministry. They went to the temple to speak this healing word into this man's life, to tell him about Jesus, to look at him, to make contact with him, to care for him, and to tell him to rise up and walk, and his life is then changed forever. People are listening in and are amazed at this. So Peter and John are excited at what's going on. Then they get arrested and thrown in jail for the night. All of that happens in response to the fact that they are giving away the hope of Jesus. See, Satan gets upset when the church goes about the work of ministry, the warfare of prayer, and the mission of telling people about Jesus. Hell gets upset and begins to go to work, and the opposition becomes fierce and heavy. See, adversity will come. Challenge will come. Opposition comes. And while I alone might struggle to stay strong in the face of opposition, we are greater than me. And we together can get bolder when the pressure is on. We rise to the occasion when God uses pressure to squeeze us and press us and mold of what he wants us to become. We get bolder under pressure. So here's how Peter answers those guys that day. I'm reading from verse number 8. Then Peter, full of the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers and elders of the people, if we are being called to account today for an act of kindness shown to a man who was lame and are being asked how he was healed, then know this, you and all the people of Israel, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed. There's boldness right there. Maybe you're thinking, well, he's Peter. He's the great apostle. Of course he's going to be this bold. But remember, not too many weeks before this same Peter denied knowing Jesus 3 times when the pressure was on. Where was his boldness that day under pressure? But now he's part of a church. Now he's watching thousands come to know Jesus. Now he is standing arm in arm with his brothers and sisters, and they are facing outwardly together, reaching more lost people. They have a mission and they're in it together. Because they are in it together, we are greater than me. And verse 11 says, Jesus is the stone you builders rejected, which has become the cornerstone. Salvation is found in no one else, for there's no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. And then, after they've been released and told not to talk about Jesus anymore, they go back and gather with the whole church again. They began to report to the rest of the church all that God is doing, and they tell them the story of this guy and all that happens in this situation. But they're also recounting that thousands had been getting saved. And I love what happens next. In Acts chapter 4, verse 31, it says, after they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. All the believers were one in heart and mind. There is the we is greater than me. No one claimed that any of their possessions was their own, but they shared everything they had. With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and God's grace was so powerfully at work in them all. I love that passage. I love that as they report back to the church, their boldness just keeps growing and explodes out of them. They look around. They look around and they look and around. We are in this together. We are greater than me. While the pressure is on and I'm suffering and struggling and I'm not sure I can do this anymore, but I look around and my family is with me. My brothers and sisters in Christ are with me. We are in this together. We is greater than me. While I might falter and fail, we are not going to fail because we get bolder under pressure. It's what the church has done for thousands of years. When we get moving and Satan gets mad and he comes to attack, we burst forth and we just keep sharing the hope and love of Jesus with boldness. We are living in a moment that is hard, that is difficult, and it's putting a strain on us, but it's an opportunity to proclaim that hope and that love with great boldness. All around us, people are seeking and searching. Bibles are flying off the shelves. Searches for prayer online have rocketed up. And if we have been saved by Jesus, we have the answer. We have what the world is looking for, the love and hope of Jesus. And if you don't know Jesus, and you're watching this and feeling under pressure, worried and scared for the future, you don't have to worry about all the answers, about the end times, prophecy. You don't need to figure all that stuff out. You don't even need to know all the details of Christian theology. Here's what you need to know. Your Creator loves you and He made you. He put life around you in such a way that you would seek after Him. In this moment of pain, brokenness and stress, as you seek for answers and wonder what's going on, He has drawn you into His family, saying, I gave my only Son for you. Jesus died on the cross for the forgiveness of your sins, and He rose again from the dead. When you transfer your trust from self to Jesus, to what He did on the cross, when you look to Him and say, Jesus, I believe You died for me, I believe You rose for me, You are King and Lord, and I want to follow You for the rest of my life. The Bible says you are saved, healed, changed, born again forever. If you've never made that decision, I want to challenge you to make that decision today. And there will be an opportunity for you to do that at the end of this message. But before I get to that, I want to give a little bit of encouragement to the church first. How do we get bolder when the pressure is on? And I want to give you three things very quickly that rise out of the story of Peter and John. See, the church exploded numerically under pressure. So how do we do that today? How do we get bolder under pressure? And the first thing I want us to encourage you to do is we need to keep our hearts broken for the cause of the lost and broken people. We are motivated by the cause. We are motivated by the fact that people are hurting. We are motivated by the fact that people are suffering and they need hope. We are motivated because the world has never ever needed hope more than it needs it right now. And one of the reasons for my boldness is the knowledge that I know people need what I have to say. They need to know Jesus in their own lives. We have to keep going for their sake. We have to keep going for their sake. Secondly, we lean into the power of the resurrected Christ through the fullness of the Holy Spirit. Over and over in these early chapters of Acts, there will be some difficult moments, and the Bible says they would be filled with the Holy Spirit and then they preached. They were filled with the Spirit and then they talked about Jesus. When they opened themselves up to and leaned into the power, presence and fullness of the Holy Spirit, that God filled them and used them to amplify and multiply their voice because of their willingness to lean into Him. We can keep going under pressure because God will enable us. And thirdly, we remember that what we are doing matters for future generations and for eternity. See, social distancing matters right now. Supporting that local business that's struggling financially matters right now. But when you give the hope of Jesus, when your boldness grows and you start sharing your story, getting vulnerable about how your life was broken and a mess and Jesus transformed it, when you start doing that with your neighbours and family, All of that stuff matters for eternity. Not just for the here and now. It matters for eternity. So let's get bolder, church. Let's share Jesus with people. We can do this together because we is greater than me. And maybe you're watching this at home and you don't have that to learn.
Thank you for listening. We hope you've been challenged and inspired. Please feel free to contact us through our website, foundchurch.co.uk, or you can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.